This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. To Australia, to New South Wales, to Sydney. Jeremy Zakas reporting on La Nina. For some weeks, Jeremy has been very carefully reporting the strange weather patterns that flow across the southern part of the Australian continent and also down the eastern coast, all heading for Sydney. However, La Nina is a global phenomenon, comes every few years, and it affects the whole of the Pacific, both east and west rim, and then the weather flows across into North America. So I'm paying attention to the weather patterns in Australia because what appears to be phenomenon or unusual or unprecedented is becoming ferocious. And this could be the year that will be remembered as the year without summer in Australia. Jeremy, the rains continue. The buildup of runoff is momentous. But what is the report about La Nina? Is this a predictable weather pattern you're experiencing because you hardly see the sun? Good day to you.
G'day, John. It is anything but predictable right now. As you mentioned, this is really ruining our summer. And what we had last week was mild weather. We actually had some sunshine here in Sydney and even up as far as Queensland, the northern state in Australia. But now this week, once again, La Nina has hit with a gusto. It's hit really, really badly. In Queensland alone, in 4 days, they got 1,360 millimeters of rain, which is 53 inches. Its annual rainfall is normally 600 millimeters, so exactly half that. So they effectively got their entire year's worth of rain in just 2 days. And to make matters worse, as you said, it cannot be predicted. So while we do get the weather forecasts out to 10 days, which say, you know, rain may be coming, the amount of rain cannot be told. We don't know exactly whether it's going to be storms. We don't know whether it's going to be high winds. But what we do know is it's going to be severe. And at this time, as we speak right now, Queensland is flooding again. There are floods in the streets of Brisbane. A lot of the major icons are now going underwater again, including, this is a very Australian thing, John, the 4X beer brewery there in Brisbane, which is a much beloved site for many Australians. That's now under about 5 to 6 feet of water, and it's not abating. The floodwaters are rising. It's getting worse, John. We're not getting summer. La Nina is here and here to stay.
In Queensland, to the north of you in New South Wales, do those storms come your way? Does the river flooding come your way? Does it hit the heavily populated areas of New South Wales?
Sometimes they do, John. And this is the part of La Nina that makes it hard. Often the weather pattern is such that the weather does come our way. So it comes from the western side of Australia, through the north, down into Sydney. And it's very predictable. We understand what it's going to be like 4 days ahead of what the weather's going to be, because we can just look to the west and see what's happening over there. But it's not now with La Nina. What's happening is the weather patterns come from the opposite direction. We're seeing more and more coming from the east because of the way the high pressure systems and the low pressure systems are interacting with the tropical warmer weather. And that's all La Nina generated. So what happens now is we see these floods up in Queensland, but it's 50-50 as to whether or not we'll see them here in Sydney. But unfortunately, this past week, we have seen them here in Sydney.
A few years before, and I can't name the date, there was much reporting about the flooding in Queensland that led to isolated settlements surrounded by running water. And then we had first the mouse phenomenon and then the snake or reptile phenomenon. Is that returning?
That is returning, and you've got a good memory. That was the 2011 floods, which were comparable to what we have now, except now it looks like it's going to be worse. And what it does is the floodwaters drive the snakes out of their natural habitat. Ahead of the snakes are the mice. The snakes can swim. The mice cannot. The mice drown, so then the snakes eat the mice, and then we suddenly get this boom of snakes. And I can tell you already, John, people are reporting snakes in the suburbs of Brisbane. People are reporting snakes are back in their homes, being washed in there by the floodwaters. But then it reverses after the floods recede. The mice have all this food to eat, have all this new growth that comes about because of a lot of silt being washed downstream and creating all this fertile land. And then we can expect to have a mice plague after this. So it's the gift that keeps on giving.
The virus, also a living entity that curses the earth. And Australia's had success lifting the mandates these last weeks. I'm going to find out where it is now, but then we have to speak specifically of Western Australia. How is it for you in Sydney right now? What are the mandates?
In Sydney, John, it's absolutely glorious compared to what it was. We no longer have to wear masks. We can roam the streets freely. We can go back to restaurants. We can now go to music events. We can go back to the concerts. We can enjoy ourselves. The only stipulation is that if we do go into a hospital, if we do go on public transport, or if we go into Sydney Airport, we do have to put on a mask, and that's because these are high contagion areas. But we are very, very close now to being open. We are very close now to just being back to normality. There is still the requirement for people to get the booster shot for the vaccine, but this is something that most people have done anyway. So for 80% of the population, we're effectively living normally once again.
We've come a long way since we started talking, Jeremy, when there was not enough vaccine for Australia and you were locked into your homes except for moments during the day or trips to buy the store. And then that real low point when you were restricted to 6 bottles of beer. I joked about it at the time, but I can see that in Australia, this was a break of normal living when you were all penned up. Now we come to Western Australia. It is its own country. What is happening with the virus? Because when last we talked, there were a few cases of Omicron.
Western Australia might be isolated. It might still be virtually a completely different country to Australia, but COVID sees no difference now. Western Australia has more than 1,000 cases over the weekend. This comes from a place where only a week ago they were getting fewer than 100, and the state premier there in Western Australia was touting their lockdown policy as being part of the success story. But now they have over 1,000 cases. They are being hit very hard. The cases are expected to rise. The number of deaths are expected to also rise too, because Western Australia has had virtually no deaths except for one or two in the very early stages. And right now, their hospital system has not had the experience that we've had on the East Coast, which allowed us to deal with it very quickly when these cases rose fast. So in Western Australia, they're potentially looking at a very, very dangerous situation in that they have a health system not used to it, not ready for it, and the cases are about to rise very, very quickly.
Travel to Australia and from Australia. Are you free to travel to other continents, or are other continents coming to you? Now, you're coming fall and into winter time. So I don't know if that's a normal tourist season for you.
Honestly, John, every day is a normal tourist season for Australia when we're open. And we are coming into the fall right now. And what we get here in Australia is milder temperatures. So normally this is a fairly big tourist season for us any given year. The good news is we are open again. We are able to get flights in. We are able to get flights out. Not every country in the world is open insofar as flights being direct, but we get about 50 flights a day now in Sydney that are international, which is up from zero. And we can plan our overseas holidays finally. And people, I mean, honestly, John, if you want to come here to Australia, you can right now. Finally, we're back and we're open.
And you can travel overseas. And when you return, what are the mandates? What do you need to do when you come in?
The mandates at the moment are you do require to have a COVID test of some kind before you travel, so 72 hours before you travel, and at the airport of the country you're leaving for, you do have to present evidence that you've had that test. And when you return to Australia too, you do have to take another test. There is a recommended 5-day isolation period at least, but at the moment it looks like that unless you test positive or have had a close contact, there's no requirements for isolation. And it looks like this is going to hold steady, because there was some discussion in the federal government and some messaging that this may change if cases rise overseas or for certain countries. But so far, it really depends on whether or not you get a positive test or not. And if you don't, it's very much normality.
The koala. Victorian koalas sent to Adelaide to improve genetic diversity. This is a story from Australian Broadcasting. 4 male koalas have been removed from Victorian plantation forests in Gippsland and transported to Adelaide as part of a breeding program to shore up the future of the species. This derives from the fact that they think that the koala in reproducing is getting too narrow in its patronage. So where is Gippsland? I don't know, Jeremy. Teach me the map.
Gippsland, John, if you imagine the map of Australia and look to the bottom right-hand corner where Victoria is and where Melbourne is, look a little bit further up from that, not too far, maybe a centimetre or two or an inch or two on the map. Gippsland is in that rural area just north of Melbourne and the surrounding areas of Melbourne. So it's bushland near the rural parts of Melbourne, I guess is the best way to describe it. And the reason that they did choose these four koalas, from what I understand, is because it's in an area that is being inundated by development. It is one of those areas where the koalas are at threat of extinction. And moving them to South Australia, they're basically getting an exquisite holiday because they're going to a place called Kangaroo Island, which is, again, another very, very beautiful habitat for them, has a lot of bushland, but it's nowhere near rural development. So these four koalas moving into Kangaroo Island, South Australia, have the best chance of breeding with another family, if you will, of koalas. And the diversity experiment to see if they can actually do that has the best chance of success. And if this works, I can see this being the start of a koala exodus into South Australia.
This was a high-tech adventure. I read from the report, thermal technology, drones, portable chlamydia testing kits, experienced tree climbers were all crucial to successfully transport four koalas to their new home in the Cleland Wildlife Park. Is that near you, Cleland Wildlife Park?
Cleland Wildlife Park actually was near me when I lived in Adelaide, and that's their initial staging point. Cleland is just next to the city of Adelaide. It's up in the Adelaide Hills. It has a beautiful view of the Adelaide city suburbs, and that's where they're starting from. They'll start there, and then they'll be moved to Kangaroo Island, and no expenses are spared. Everything's being given to these little critters to ensure they survive. They're getting the best care possible, and Cleland is world-renowned for being able to look after koalas and other Australian native animals too. So they've really gone, they've moved up in the world, John.
Ukraine crisis. I saw initial reports that your Prime Minister, Mr. Morrison, was adamant in his denunciation of Russia. I believe the word thugs was used, and that has a particular meaning when you use that in Australia. That's rough language. Is that correct, Jeremy?
That is very correct. And that is very plain spoken, which I think was exactly the right thing for the moment. And Australia considers what's happening in the Ukraine, at least the federal government does, as being completely wrong. Completely thuggish is another way to use the word. And we won't stand for it, but we'll do whatever we can in our powers, by the sounds of it, from the federal government to you know, let Russia know this is wrong.
How is the media coverage of this? Because here in the East Coast of the United States, it's overwhelming. It's constant. It's on a cycle out of Europe that flows to America, that flows west. How is it for you?
Very similar. It's 24/7 right now. So our news channels are carrying it constantly. Our normal regular bulletins are leading with it. And our online media and our print media, it is absolutely top of the bill right now. So it's a huge concern. We have a lot of Australians in the Ukraine, a lot of Australians in Europe as well. And everybody is concerned where it's going to go.
Jeremy Zakas, he is in New South Wales, Sydney, reporting on La Nina, reporting on the virus that is abating somewhat in New South Wales, the koalas who are rescued with drones. And then Scott Morrison is very clearly enraged by what's going on in Ukraine, and Australia is watching the story carefully. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.